Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another wonderful week of Casa Time. I know we've been away for a while, but we are back.
Yeah, you can't get rid of us that
bigger
easy.
And better than ever. Exactly. You can't get rid of us. How are you doing, Nana?
I've been really good, Michael.
Nice. I've been right as well. Wow. What has been really good?
Well, today is the first day that I've said I'm no longer breastfeeding.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
How is he dealing with it?
He's not happy.
Wow.
He's not happy.
I can imagine.
He's taking it like a soldier.
Like a soldier.
Yeah. Mm. Like he went to bed by himself. You know, thank you for helping me get the bed.
No problem.
He slept in the bed today in the afternoon.
Nice.
He kind of kicked up a fuss, but within 5 minutes, he was sleeping.
Perfect.
Yes.
Oh.
But it's the night times that are going to be a killer. But I'm going to take it. I'm going to go for it. It was funny because I asked this lady at my church. I was like, she's got 4 children and
wow.
She's just had another baby. And I said to her, how did you stop breastfeeding? She goes, I just stopped. Like, she looked at me like I was stupid. She's like, I just stopped. Like, yeah, but no, you just stop. And that's literally it. You like, we add all this extra stuff. Oh, but how much? No, you just stop. No matter what he does, no matter how much he cries, you just don't give it to him.
Mm.
And after a while, he will give up.
Mm. You realise that it's over.
Yeah.
Mummy's not on tap
yeah,
anymore.
Like I... Basically. Basically. So I'm trying to get him off that and also out of our bed because it's been long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Oh my god, progress.
Yeah,
love
man,
it.
I'm trying.
Good. How is everything else? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, delving deep within myself. I'm trying to unpeel this many layered onion that is me.
I was gonna say that.
You know?
Onion, definitely.
After every layer, I'm thinking, oh shit, there's more, you know? Just when I thought I'd got to the center.
This onion's making me cry too much.
Yeah.
Stop it. Bloody hell.
Like, I'm getting kind of like, oh, please.
Oh,
but
it's
interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting to know who you are as a person.
I mean, me and Nana were Nana recommended me a really good book called The Untethered Soul. And I nearly finished it. And I think we should talk about it next week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but yeah, I think we'd be... How far are you on it?
I'm on chapter 10. I read a bit this morning.
Wicked. And we can I'll make some notes for next week and then you can kind of go through it. But it's a really good book just about, basically about you being in tune with your one true self, which is your awareness, rather than the voices or the temporary voices or the temporary things that happen to us and that we hold on to that in turn damages us, you know. And it's suffering. It literally is suffering by holding on to these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was deep. I don't know. It's one of those books you have to take a break from after every once in a while.
Bro, I literally read 3 chapters. Like, okay, I've done enough. Like, my mind is just saturated.
This
now.
Onion
like,
is too
yeah,
too much.
Let me turn on EastEnders or something.
Yeah.
Just balance it out.
Isn't it?
Tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
Because no, do you know, it was funny because it was talking about, you know, your thoughts and you saying you have to do this, you have to do that, and I told myself I have to read for 2 hours. But I said, no, I don't. why have I put this on me? Why have I put this pressure on myself that I must read for 2 hours?
Mm.
And who says it has to be 2 continuous hours?
No.
It could be 30 minutes here, 20 minutes there. If it adds up to 2 hours, so be it. Do you see what I mean? But doesn't have to, why am I forcing myself to make it 2 straight hours? Who am I trying to prove? I'm by myself. Well, you know, no one can
You're
see
You're putting
me.
That your own pressure
yeah.
on yourself, putting all that thing.
I was like,
or the voices
that.
Are putting that on yourself.
Yeah, I was like, let me go make a sandwich. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
That thing, even I just realised everything I've ever wanted to do, I have the voices telling me not to or stifling me in certain things. Like, oh, man, I want to work out. Oh, I can't be bothered. I'm too tired.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. Why don't you just do it? The awareness just does it. Where the voices, all the bullshit you've taken, you know, I'm not all this, I'm not dedicated enough or whatever, blah, blah, blah. All these voices, just need to shut them down and just do what you need to do.
Well, that's what she was saying with the breastfeeding. I've added all that, oh, but what if he does this? Just do it.
Yeah.
Don't
absolutely.
Listen to the voices and just do it.
Mm.
And it will get done.
It will get done. Mm.
Mm.
Have you seen anything or watched anything this week that you want to share with us?
I've fallen in love.
Oh, have you? Again?
Yeah. This is it's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I've fallen in love with Noriega.
Noriega.
Yeah.
Real Noriega.
Yeah.
You owe me 100 favours. Sorry.
I don't actually know any of his songs. I know there's those bait ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know who he was at the time when he sang them.
Okay.
So I'm gonna like. He's got a mixtape called Drunk Uncle, which I just downloaded today. So I'm gonna listen to that, and I'm probably gonna fall in love even more. But I just love his spirit.
Hmm.
Do you know what I love? You know he's got his Drink Champs podcast.
Yep.
I love the way he's so positive. Hmm. I love the way he claps for everybody.
Yeah.
Clap for Brooklyn. Then he clap. I love that. I love it.
He is quite a positive guy. I mean, you can tell why he was a success, and you know why he knows a lot of people, and he's been through a lot of things. Like, just open to life. He's a very life-full man, if that's a word.
You just made it.
It's a word now.
Yeah, exactly.
Name of this podcast.
Yeah, lifeful. Did you say lifeful?
Lifeful.
A lifeful person.
Yeah, lifeful person. Yes, I
as
love
in
it.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
lifeful.
Lifeful.
Okay,
that's what I've done.
Just making sure. Is it one L or two L's?
One L.
Oh, even better.
Lifeful.
Yes.
Yeah, a lifeful person. But yeah, you're telling me we have to drink champs.
Yeah, I've literally had a YouTube binge just trying to find all the videos of him. There's not that much. Like,
oh, has he got a channel?
What do you mean, a YouTube channel? No, like interviews that he's done, like in the past. Like, he's been on The Breakfast Club like 3 times.
I know, I've only seen one Breakfast Club YouTube video. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because
they're
a legend.
Yeah, they're good friends, so he comes back often. And I watched this morning him and Capone, because he used to be in a group called CNN.
Oh.
Capone and Noriega. So that was like from 2014.
Okay.
So I was just listening to their story and it was nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I fancy him.
I like him. I've listened to only one episode. I only listened to the DMX one.
Yeah.
And that was a bit, yeah. But I like him as a person. I like him as a host. You're right, but he's very positive, lifeful person. Yeah.
What's the word? You know when like people you draw people to you.
You do.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a word I want to say, but I can't remember what it is. You know?
I'm learning, like, in terms of, like, people... Like, you know how... Okay. I don't know if you have this problem. I obviously speak for myself. Like, I feel like I am very aware and very hungry for affirmation from people and want to be liked, so I don't want to be disliked, and that's a problem that I'm still working for. I'm aware of it, and it's something that I need to get over, but it's the irony of what I do with trying to make myself liked by people and blah blah blah. Is the fact that when I'm doing that and people who don't do that, like when I'm doing that, I'm actually being in a way being fake, and that pushes people away. Do you see it? Am I making sense?
No, because I do the same thing.
Because it's like,
yeah,
you're trying to be the best, you know, this fake best version of yourself, which is completely fake. I am talking about myself, obviously. And the people can sense it's disingenuous, so they kind of pushes people away anyway. So what's the point? And then you kind of see people that are quite good with people and people like them, blah, blah, because they're kind of real. In the sense that, and when I say real, I don't mean they're like, oh, they're just rude or anything like that, or just say whatever they want. Not that. It's the fact they're not guarded at all. They're very personable. They tell people about themselves. They're quite open about themselves and their life and their problems and their flaws and blah, blah, blah. And people gravitate to that. Mm-hmm. People fuck with that. Do you know what I mean?
They fucks with that.
And I would be so scared to do that. And then I hide and hide and hide and hide, and I'm like, why don't people like me? But you're kind of the biggest hindrance to people getting to know you and like you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
No, I don't have to imagine, bro. It's my reality. Do you know what I mean?
It's my reality.
I try to put myself in situations, like, I feel like I'm very antisocial, but it's because, like you said, you try to do things to get people to like you, but then The problem is, you shouldn't have to try to get people to like you. You should be yourself, and the people who like you will like you. And it's funny because you end up trying to get the people who you shouldn't really want to like you liking you. Do you see what I mean? And then it never works out.
Because you've had the disingenuous representation of yourself.
Exactly. And I when I realized this was when I was at church. There was somebody that I was trying to talk to who was like kind of like disregarding me, and then I'm trying to like get your attention, And then somebody else who I didn't even know was trying to get my attention. Do you see what I mean? And that person, maybe I'd made a comment or something and that had sparked something within them. So they thought, ooh, I like what she said. I want to get to know her.
Mm.
And then I'm now, because of my own insecurities, trying to get this other person to like me who doesn't give a shit. Do you see what I mean? And it's like, I should turn my focus to the person who actually does want to get to know
for
me
for your, who I am, who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For the real, for yeah. And don't you, do you know what I like? I don't, maybe for men, I don't know, it's different, but for women, you will try your hardest to look pretty and go to a rave or something, and nobody will compliment you, and then you feel shit. And then the times where you feel like you haven't really tried, you've just, you know, you haven't really stressed over it too much. That's when everybody's like, oh, you look really nice. I was like, what? But look at what I'm wearing.
Because they appreciate the natural kind of...
Yeah, like you didn't put any pressure on yourself. Yeah. You didn't, you know...
It's true.
And I guess it's your whole aura as well. Mm. Because maybe when you've put on... you've thought about it too much, it shows.
Mm.
Or maybe you're kind of on edge because you're trying to get people to say stuff to you. So maybe your face is kind of screwed up. But when you don't really try, you're just yourself. It's more natural than
exactly.
You know, the energy is different and people gravitate. Exactly,
and I learned this from my friend actually, because I was like, one of my friends, I was like, okay, as in, I feel like, and I've said this to Nana before, I feel like everyone in your life, you're trying to, you're supposed to learn something from, I think we both agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend, I'm like, kind of like, what am I supposed to learn from him?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think, personally, I'm starting to see that it's his communication.
Mm.
His communication skills are exceptional.
Mm.
And it's kind of like, people love him and he knows how to talk to people and he knows how to do things and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, stupid, little stupid things that I'm like, shit, like, I'm so, it makes me feel like I'm like, my in terms of intelligence, my communication, my social intelligence is quite poor. I'm like retarded. Like, no offense to that, for anyone that finds that word offensive, but like, in terms of like, okay, we were at someone's leaving do at work, so they, you know, they brought food in and people were eating, blah, 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 and it was like, the person's vegetarian, so all the food they cooked was like vegetarian food, and I quite enjoyed it, so I was like blah, 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 but he didn't like the food. And then he was like, okay, he was eating the food and he was kind of like, okay, I don't like this food. I'm not going to play with it in front of everyone or just leave it in front of me because it looks rude. I'm going to try and throw it away. But I don't want anyone I don't want to be rude about it. And then kind of, I know he's probably overthinking, I see people's expectations of him, but he's like, okay, I'm going to throw it away when people are not looking. So people were like, I finished it. And then I was like, rah, you overthought things there, because I would have probably just said, lied that I was full. When I'm blatantly not, because I've only had two bites. And I've been like, oh, I ate at lunch 3 hours ago and I'm full. And then I'm just like, little things like that, like where sometimes you need to be a bit more socially conscious about things, like in terms of, I don't know even how, why I'm saying this, is I'm not as considerate when it comes to people, and also when I'm talking to people, I'm very guarded and scared to kind of show the full extent of who I am, and kind of like almost fake in a weird way, like kind of like guarded in a way. I'm not going to open my heart out to people, so how are people going to open their heart out to me? And it's a level of willing to be vulnerable with people, which is very very important in social intelligence, and also a level of consideration you have to have for other people as well. Empathy. I lack both severely. Like, no emotional empathy. My girlfriend tells me this all the time. And
you're fixed up. No, she's not your girlfriend.
My fiance.
Get it right.
My fiance.
Give her the props deserves. Okay.
My fiance tells me all the time that I'm something that I know, like, and she explains it to me, like things I do, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I have no consideration in that sense. And also, in terms of when I'm talking to people, I'm very guarded, and I would rather talk to you about frivolous shit that doesn't matter, rather than the things that are personable to you, because I don't want to talk about the things that are personable to me, because to me, like, that vulnerability makes me weak.
Remember, we're like, I don't give a shit about what they did. I still think, remember, we're like, I don't want to Like, when people tell me how their day was, I just don't care.
It's about me, yeah, yeah. It's about me.
And I think it doesn't, even though I don't, I might not care, but that person sharing, like, I'll give an example, like, Noah, if he spends time with the baby, he will be excited to tell me, oh, and he did this, and he did that. Yeah, but I'm with him. I'll be like, oh, I'm with him all the time, so I know this. But it's not about that. Mm. Like, if I want him to spend more time with him, I have to allow him to express the enjoyment that he has. But if I shut that down when he tells me these things, he's not that he's not going to want to spend time with his son, but he's not going to want to share that with me. And it's nice for us to be able to share
that.
So even though I don't really deep down care, because you just have to be, oh, that's nice. Mm. Even though I've seen him do that like 5 times. Do you know what I mean?
100% agree. And also, there's sometimes there's little things you need to know. Mm. I realised this. Okay, there was this thing at work where people were talking about getting a house.
Mm.
And they were talking, they're like, oh, two people are in the process of trying to get a house. Mm. And they were talking about house and blah, blah, blah. And we obviously, most of the people in the room actually were not buying a house, mm. but we were listening and we're engaging and stuff like that. And I found out that last week, what stamp duty was, because I didn't fucking know it.
Mm-hmm.
What for stamp duty? I heard stamp duty said to you, but I didn't actually know what stamp duty was.
Mm.
And also little things where you need, if you're buying a house, you need this money on the side. Mm-hmm. Like, you actually have to pay lawyers when you're buying a house and all these things, and how much. And had I been like, fuck this, I'm just on my smartphone, I don't care what you have to say.
Mm.
I mean, so I wouldn't know what I know now. Mm-hmm. And like, basically, they were like, in the conversation at one point, it's like, listen, if you're going to buy a house, Mike, you need to have this money on the side as well as top of your deposit money as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. And I would have been like, at least now going forward, I won't be too shocked. I'll be like, okay, I'm prepared, I know.
You stayed ready.
So yeah.
You have to get ready, yeah.
It's just being willing to, if you share, like, they're sharing something with you for a reason. I mean, we have to see this as God or the universe, or whatever you want to see it.
Mm.
That we are sharing for a reason. We are sharing our hearts and our souls to each other for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's not just for nothing. Mm. And even though I may think, I don't want to, you know, we don't want to know this. There is a reason for them to want to share that with us, because we're something we need to know that they're saying. Do you see what I'm saying?
Even like in terms of the baby and my partner, it makes our relationship stronger. Like, I feel like he loves his son and I love my son, but we need to love him together. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's and that kind of bond comes through us telling each other stories. And then if I'm now willing to listen to him tell me about what happens when they're together, he'll be more willing to listen to me when I want to talk about what happens when we're together, rather than, oh, yeah, whatever. Do you know what I mean? But I can't get angry if he does that to me if I do that to him.
That's, again, my girlfriend will say we lack emotional in terms of emotional empathy, or we're emotionally selfish in that sense, because we want the emotional gratification of being able to tell, oh, this is what I did with the baby and what, because I'm mum, that's important, and you're saying, no, your dad is not important for what you're saying. Can you imagine?
I know. I can be very horrible.
No, I put my hand up. I'm in it with you. and it's the lack of awareness.
Why we're friends.
Amen. Amen. And that's what, you know, we're learning.
It can only make stuff better.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
Definitely.
Did you see anything about
I have watched, I started, like, we were talking about Noriega.
Mm.
I don't like that name, Noriega. Or N-O-R-E, you know, if you're feisty.
If you're hip with it.
And then it got me down this route of, like, because he's talking about growing up in the projects, and it's something that a lot of the people on his podcast, they've all, even though it might be different states, or is it states?
Mm.
Yeah, different state, like New York or Atlanta or wherever, where they grew up was the same. It's the same condition, just a different
same idea,
same shit, different toilet. Do you see what I mean?
Definitely same shit.
Yeah. And then it got me thinking about, you know, like, I then went, you know, like, you go down the rabbit hole. I went to, and YouTube is my source for every sort of visual you know, aid, that I started to Google, to YouTube, like, projects in America, what they looked like. And there are a lot of, like, people on YouTube who've done their own little kind of documentary. I love YouTube, bro. Because it's, like, content that we've put out there. So there's, like, people who live in the projects in Brownsville. I think that's in New York. Don't quote me on that. And they had their own little camera, and they were going from, like, project to project. I didn't even really know what a project was, but it's basically just, I think, the tower block, and it has a name, and they call, so I would consider it to just be a tower block, but they call that particular block a project. Then this next one is a project. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
As whereas I thought it was all of them together was the projects.
The projects. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and just, oh, and they were saying how, you know, even people don't like to come down there because of the energy. It's very negative, and as soon as you get off the train, you feel it. And I was thinking, like, an accumulation of people who aren't very happy. They're in these dire situations. Why would the energy be positive there?
I just thought about something. Sorry to interrupt, you're walking through the forest, and it's like pastoral, typical kind of green, leafy forest. Then you get to a section of a forest where it's open field. It's beautiful, flowers everywhere, running through the forest, blah, blah, blah. You get past the open fields, you get to a point where, okay, you've got trees, you've got markings on the wall, you've got writing, symbols on the wall, all these symbols and stuff. You've got rubbish on the floor. And right, a really polluted part of the forest, like, was kind of, and then it was kind of like with all these markings and stuff on the wall. Would you not feel intimidated? Wouldn't your mood change?
But what just came to my mind is, would your mood change because of ideas that have already been placed in your head
about
that those things are negative? Like, say for instance, people who live in a tower block, they watch TV. If everybody who they watched on TV lived in their situation and they were happy about living in that situation, would they now feel that their situation was bad? Or they now watch TV and they see people living in huge houses, driving huge cars, and they're happy, you know, chilling at the beach, and you don't even know where a beach is. Does that now make you feel like your situation is shit?
But also, think about, like, and we were talking about this before the podcast started, like, in terms of looking, like, you're in this project, and whatever it is, tower block away, a bunch of, you know, high-rise houses, whatever it is, and through denigration of time and things like that, it's not being looked after, and it's deteriorated, regardless of what it is. It could be fresh, nice tower block, and if it's not looked after, it becomes you know, its own monster. It becomes horrible. It becomes a horrible place to live in. I just think, regardless of where it is, it could be like, you could be quite happy in a new, in a flat, in a high rise flat if it was lovely. You could, like, think about people in New York who live in penthouse sky rises, or even high rises, which are nice, concierge, whatever. People live this way. It's the way it's kept. It's really important. I do believe that if there is some sort of, even like in America, they have housing. You know, like people who like people who run the building, like housing association within, you know, block of a caretaker or someone, one of the residents is in charge of, and a lot of Yubo people do that, and that makes sense because if we make all ourselves accountable and come together as a community and make sure this is a place we all want to live in, it will be amazing. But when we are kind of like shoving these people here and giving them no kind of helping them out, or well, and then not even looking after, keep making sure there's maintenance and stuff like that, and then there's graffiti on the wall, no one's cleaning up, no one values it, you're like, as long as my house is fine, I don't care about the rest of the building, I don't care if this place smells like urine or whatever. Is it really matters your surroundings? It does kind of matter. You keep your surroundings nice, you will feel better, and it will reflect. That's what I'm kind of thinking.
No, definitely, because it's true. Because I don't even really think it's about the fact that it's a tower block. It's like you said, it's a
dilapidated.
Dilapidated.
don't quote us on that. I think
dilapidated.
Dilapidated. Yeah.
Dilapidated building, and It's true, because if you're in a building where nobody maintains it, and because even like I was looking at my walls today, and I painted them when I first moved in, and I haven't touched them since. Do you see what I mean? And then I'm looking at them now, and little pieces of paint are flicking off, and it's because I haven't maintained it. Do you see what I mean? So anything that you don't, your body is the most important thing. Do you see what I mean, bro? You have to like exercise. You can't go to the gym once a year and think that you're going to be buff. It's something that you have to consistently keep on doing. Same with your house. You have to, you know, like
same with your life,
bro. Like if you live in one of those nice flats, they have a gardener who comes. Do you see what I mean? And mows the lawn.
Don't
and,
get twisted. People have, in Central living in nice high rise, whatever you want to call it, council blocks.
Yeah,
they're living life nicely because they have a concierge downstairs. Yeah. They have a community of people that are looking after them. Maybe pay what are those service charges?
Service charges
to maintain the building. If people, I feel like maybe if people were to band together, in they could really make a council flat or, you know, high rise building great. But I don't feel like those people have been made to feel that they need to, because no one's initiated. I don't know. I don't know who to blame on this situation. I don't know.
It's the people in the housing project. I mean, you can be calling them projects. It's the people in the housing. Like, because somebody has to take the step to initiate, because I'm sure, like me, I one of my goals this year was to sort out the poo problem in my local area, because there's always dog shit like on the pavement. Last year, that's what I saw. Like during the summer, it wasn't really even the summer, it was the winter, because a lot of people had dogs, or have dogs, I should say, but they don't look after their dogs like other people look after. Like they will let their dog just shit anywhere, and they won't pick up the shit because they don't care about where they live. You see, which is a reflection of how you feel about yourself, really. Do you see what I mean? And I don't think that's fair for people who don't have dogs, and also people who have children. Why do I have to see your dog shit? I think it's disgusting. Do you see what I mean?
It's true.
So I wanted to write a letter to the local people in the area and like post it through their door and try to do something about it. Even if we have to kind of raise money to get those or just ask these people why. Because maybe they've never even thought about...
Or considered it.
Yeah, they've never even thought about... Because my baby's just started walking. I don't want him to be walking and dropping into someone else's dog shit. But maybe that person doesn't have children. Or doesn't even think about the other people that use the road.
I bet you, if you put those letters out there, you'll get one, at least, obviously, one person will be like, I was thinking the same fucking thing. And then two people get like thinking the same fucking thing. And blah, blah, blah. And then that kind of community is when, it's the thing is, and also when you get with projects and like social housing, you get random people would be moved in and out, random people get moved in and out, and it's just, there's no consistency, there's no air of community. There's maybe one person who's lived there for 30 years, not five people that lived there for 30 years. There's no one that cares about the area. There has to be people that care about the area. It's important. And when you have these things where someone is actually like, even the whole idea of a neighborhood watch, that comes from people wanting, caring about the area, making sure, I don't want this area to go to shit, and stuff like that. People are quite protective of the areas they live in.
Like I was saying, those places where they have like neighborhood watch, they're people who have a mortgage. You know, they're invested in that house. If the area goes down, the price of their house goes down, they've lost their money.
Vested interests.
Do you understand?
So we have to give people in projects or council tenants vested interests. Is that the solution?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, or just, they have to put, maybe by doing something for the community, they will have a vested, because most of these people don't have money. But it doesn't have to be money that you're investing.
What if I was to give you equity or a share in your house? Maybe I'll say, okay, you can get, if you live in this area for 5 years, whatever, you can own 20% of this house. We'll give you 20% of the house if you agree to maybe sort out a neighborhood watch, or sort out what you were saying, post letters and get rid of the dog situation, and give people onus and responsibility. And then they kind of like, we have a goal. I want to own 20% of this house. And then when they own 20% of my house, I'm like, okay, how do I make it 50? I'll get a job and work and blah, blah, blah. Like, we need to kind of think, instead of trying to antagonize people, let's try and work with people and put them in a positive mindset to want to do these things. Because I feel that's way more human beings, we can be naturally rebellious, and us trying to get to them to a mindset where we're working with you, we're in your best interest. Mm-hmm. I think that works better.
Mm.
People hear that better than you need to do this or blah, blah, blah will happen.
Mm.
Rather than threats and fights, rather than saying, okay, you can be part of something bigger than you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be part of something bigger? And people are like, yeah, I want to be part of something bigger. Let's do this. Let's make this community amazing and stuff like that.
Mm.
So even like, think about, I don't know, the riots in Enfield, when they had the riots and then they, you know, whereas they caught a whole bunch of people just clean up the streets and stuff like that. I thought that was amazing.
I didn't even know that
like,
happened.
It was huge. They got like, there was a whole broom campaign where...
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, broom, yeah, in the, yeah, air, yeah,
blah, blah, blah,
yeah, yeah.
Broom campaign.
I forgot so that was about thing. The riots. Yeah,
sweet the whole... I don't know. I mean, I only heard of it happening in Enfield.
Mm.
And I'm kind of not surprised I only heard of it happening in Enfield. I'm not sure if it happened in Tottenham or something. But this whole idea of let's go and clean the streets up, it was a whole proper campaign thing. They had, all these shopkeepers had this I love Enfield stickers
on
there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, was that because of the riots?
That was because of the riots and the cleanup operation after. Wow. The whole kind of, that's what you need to do to get people to love the area, to get them to combine a vested interest in the area, whatever you do. And that's probably because a lot of people in that area and Enfield Towns have owned their properties, so they it was quite easier to own their business. It's quite easy to get them to rally them together. We need to get people to rally together in that sense. But yeah,
so it, like, if I guess if you see a problem, you have to be the one to sort of initiate it.
Mm.
And just by you taking that first step, like anything, like, I know this is so like off the subject, but you know, like, if like for instance Bill Cosby and that one person who stepped forward said, oh, he raped me, and then all these other people started stepping, you know, in it always just takes that one person to be to the brave one,
yeah,
you know, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that doesn't, but it's only because this year I haven't really seen any, but I don't know if maybe once summer comes along
it'll get worse.
Do you see what I mean? But, or maybe someone's already done something, because last year it was really bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, literally on the pavement, which I thought was disgusting. But now I don't really see it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think if you can, I can't, like I don't want to put that pressure on myself to say I want to pick up all the dog shit in London, but I can. Do you know what I mean? I can say for my own little area,
this is a problem we need to do something about. Yeah, because
this is where I see it the most. So if you do for your area, maybe someone else will see it and they think, oh, but I can do that for my area, and then they start up something for their own area, and then that's how it grows, rather than you try to think, oh, I'm going to do the whole of London, and then you start thinking, oh, how many letters will that have to be? 2 million.
It becomes Nana thing, from Enfield did this thing for her area.
Thanks for baiting up my area.
You can find, obviously she's the only Nana in Enfield, so you can obviously find her tomorrow.
Brother, it's not Tottenham. It's Enfield.
Probably been fine. She probably will probably be able to find her. Straight up. First Nana in the fucking yellow books. Yellow pages.
If you said Broadwater Farm, then I would have been cool. Okay. Because there's about a million Nanas in Broadwater Farm.
Okay. So yeah, she did this, and her legacy is she did this for her area.
Mm.
Oh, this project could work in other places.
Because you're showing them that it can work.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. And it's not even like... I'm sure there's loads of little things around London that I've been able to do things like that, just through, you know, sheer, like, camaraderie and whatever you want to call it. Like, yeah, that kind of banding together sort of thing was wicked.
Yeah, and I know people want that. There are people who are in their house who feel isolated, you know, and for you to just say, oh, let's have a community meeting, you know, tea and biscuits available. They'll come down just for the tea and biscuits. Do you see what I mean? But it's just to get to know people in the area, you know, and once you know people in the area, I think that helps with the spirit, the energy as well, you know, rather, like, I think it's horrible how you can live next to someone
and
not know who they are. You know, that's not normal. That is not normal. So if there was ever a time you were in help in need, you know, you've got nobody. You're literally you're surrounded by people, yet you're isolated. How is that normal? That's not normal. And how would that make you feel? The whole point
of human connection that, like, yeah,
you're
like,
in a community, but there's no community spirit, bruv. There's no community spirit.
It's all spirit, innit?
Bruv.
I told you about that rat experiment they did. Did I tell you about that? About that? About drug addiction?
Well, eating the poison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've repeated the podcast for people to hear. So there's the story. I was watching this thing. I watch Kurtzdag like videos. They're quite good, actually. And they talk about addiction. And this scientist did this thing where he was testing. He put heroin in a water bottle and then water next to the water, the heroin bottle, and put the rat in the cage on its own, and it drank the heroin till it overdosed and died. And then later on, did another experiment with a rat. And he put a lot of things for the rat to do. Other rats in there with all the toys and whatever. He called it Rat Heaven. And made it amazing. And they put, obviously, the heroin bottle and the water bottle were still in the corner. And they hardly drank the heroin bottle. They only drank the water. And that tells you that, you know, people need connection. You need connection in your life. Or, you know, people need communities. It's, as much as we say, I don't care, I just want to be on my own, it's actually important to have connections.
Well, think about it. If we are all one and we're connected on like a spiritual level, if you disconnect yourself from the source, will you not wither and die?
Or overdose and die.
Well, as in you're spiritually withering to the point where you now feel that something's missing, and then you try to fill that void with alcohol and drugs.
Yes.
And it will never work. Do you see what I mean? Maybe what you're missing is that social interaction or that spiritual connection.
Absolutely.
You're basically missing an element of yourself, which is everybody else. You know, or you see it in somebody else. That's what makes you feel, you know, that makes you feel alive, kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know? That's deep, bruv. That's deep. Maybe that's why it's been set up that way. For you to be scared of your neighbour. It's all down to fear. Like, why would you not talk to your neighbour? Because you're scared of them.
Because the minute everything you've heard on TV in London is that you leave and you get... Like, it's funny, if you have a conversation with people who aren't from London, they're like, literally, like, bloody hell, do you walk down the street and get stabbed? Like, yeah, I got stabbed 5 times, like... but it is like, because obviously that's what the media, they hear about London, and even us hear it. Like, there's danger around every corner, and everything's dangerous, and everyone's stabbing each other, and blah, blah, blah. That's all you hear. Because the media obviously trying to push something.
But why is it London? Because even yesterday I was talking to my friend about driving, and she said that as soon as you leave London, the people on the roads are kinder. Like, they give you way and stuff. They're not trying to cut you up and beep at you and stuff. So what is it about the M25? Like, once you pass it, everyone seems to be a lot more friendlier.
Because it kept us in those concrete jungles, I guess. I mean, it's angry and stressed. I don't know.
It's weird.
Okay. This is a quite good conversation about this. I mean, I don't know if do you want to add anything else to that?
Not that I can think of right now.
Okay, we can go to the next thing. Another one is talk about emotional triggers. I think I know what you mean, but if you could elaborate.
Well, tell me what you think, and I'll tell you if you're wrong.
Okay. cool. I thought emotional triggers, and I was relating it to a book I read a while back. On controlling your emotions, and i.e. if you're in a situation whereby you know a certain things make you angry or upset or whatever, trigger an extreme version of an imbalance of an emotion, you should be aware of that. And those triggers are not in control of you. You will control your awareness and can control of you. So rather than letting those triggers affect you or let those triggers control you, you should be in control of your awareness, i.e. in control of your emotions. No emotion just happens to you. You are in control of your emotions. Have I got it right or wrong? Oh, cool.
Definitely. Because I think it was the book that we're reading that got me... It's something that I've been thinking about, but I didn't really know how to put it into practice. But I guess you have to get to a certain point where you're aware of it, fully aware of it. Then you can see it. Like, I'll give you an example. Yesterday after church, there's this lady who gives me a lift home, but last week I didn't go. So this week I asked, like, somebody was like, oh, go and ask her. And then somebody was like, well, you know, the voice is my enemy, my enemy within. I was like, oh, don't go and ask her. I said, shut up, just go and ask her. And then when I asked her, she's like, oh no, sorry, I can't get. And then I felt like she just slapped me in the face. Like my body literally just went, oh, because she'd said no. Do you see what I mean?
The rejection is a trigger of extreme sadness.
Then it got, I thought, but no, it's okay because you have money to get the train back. It's not, it wasn't even the fact that she said no. It was that feeling of rejection.
Yes.
Do you see what I mean? And that's what I've been running from, which is why I didn't want to ask, because that there was that fear that she could say no. Mm. But there's nothing wrong with her saying no. Mm. And then she was like, but don't worry, I'll give you a lift next week. It's only be, and then, so whereas before someone would have said no to me and that would have just destroyed my whole day. And I probably would have just, and then I started thinking, don't laugh.
No, I'm laughing because it's so true. It relates to me as well.
No, I know.
Like, I'm fucking scared of rejection. Yeah. Sorry, but that's why I'm laughing, because I'm thinking about my own situation.
No, I know. No,
it's like so funny.
The thing is, even like for me to say to you, don't laugh, I have no control over you laughing. Do you see what I mean? Because you can laugh, that's fine. Do you see what I mean? Mm. It shouldn't really faze me. Yeah, but it doesn't. But I was just, you know, anyway.
Mm.
So, what was I saying? It made me, like, as it was funny because it was good because I had the time, the journey home to think about why I felt that way. And, you know, and then also when I felt rejection before, how have I dealt with it? And then all of a sudden I said, I want McDonald's. That's the first thing that came into my head.
Yeah.
I want a burger.
Something comfortable.
Yeah, some sort of comfort to make me feel better about that rejection.
Absolutely.
And I thought, but, and it was so instant that you wouldn't even connect the two. Like, you wouldn't connect that person saying no to you and then you now wanting to either have, you know, eat something that you know is not good for you or drink alcohol or I'm not gonna go as far as bunning a spliff, but or have, you know, something that
to
you know
numb the pain of your rejection.
Exactly.
Yes.
But then you just have to let it pass through you, and that's what I said. It's all right. It's okay. I have the money to get home. It's a nice day today. I am tired, but I will find my way home, and it's okay. And I let it go.
I love that quote in the book where it said, "Time when you are comfortable with pain passing through you, you are free."
Bruv.
That's so fucking, that's exactly what you, no one's saying you're not allowed to feel upset that you feel rejected. No one is saying that. The book is saying is just be comfortable with that rejection passing through you and not hold it as a grudge against her, which in the past, if I were you, I probably would have held it. Oh, this bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Sorry, but I was like, fuck you. I'm going to get my own car soon anyway.
I was driving a puddle on your face. So that kind of silliness. It's like when you're holding on to things, you have to allow the pain, be comfortable with the pain passing through you. I need to write that down, bro. When you are comfortable with pain passing through you, you are free.
Yes, bro. You really are. You really are. And I just felt good that I'd come up to that situation and I'd reacted differently than I would have in the past.
Exactly.
And then when you're able to do that, shit changes. And you're no longer a prisoner to that. Do you see what I mean? And then think about it. If I'd done my usual thing, I want a burger. Then I would have gone to McDonald's, eaten a burger. Now thought about the money that I've wasted. That makes me feel even shitter. And then the fact that now I have to burn off that Big Mac that didn't even taste nice. Do you know? So because of just one no.
One no, and it's affected your whole day.
Bruv!
Taking you back in several different things. Not just one thing. Several different things taking you backwards.
And like, why did she say no? Because I had not been there the week before. So she did, like, so obviously she probably given that other person a lift that week I wasn't there, so he's probably now asked again, so I'm making it personal, like I'm adding all my own baggage to one simple statement that she made. Can you give me a lift? No. Okay. Do you see what I mean? But I'm adding all the, that time when my mum did this to me and that no sound like the time when this guy, you know, when I loved him and he hurt
my
feelings.
I'm a piece of shit because someone rejected me. Jump off the bridge. I don't know what you, do you know what I mean? I don't know. We're adding these things. I do it all the time and I'm shit scared of rejection. Mm. Even when I think about even approaching, like in the past, in my past, approaching females and stuff. God, no, I don't, God, rejection. Fuck no. And it's just, kind of, it is debilitating. It is holding you back. Because imagine, all these people who are really successful saying that they failed a million times before. And their immunity to failure, like, they just learned. They just kept on going. They failed, they learned, they got fired. Charlamagne talks all the time when he about him getting fired.
Wendy Williams.
Yeah, get fired. And fired from another radio station he got fired from.
Okay.
And it's just part of, it's part of the experience of life. And just for them to have let that pain pass through and let it go. Let it go. Yeah. And I bet you anything, they don't hold any grudges for it.
No, why would you?
Thank you for the experience.
Yeah. It's like made me a better person.
That Gary V guy. You know that Gary V... I can't remember his name. The business guy. He's a businessman who I think he manages hedge funds and stuff like that. And he's like a motivational speecher. He was saying how...
Speecher.
motivational speaker. And I like he was saying how his friend... he's one of his closest friends, and this is really close because he accredited him in a book. Started Uber.
And
he asked for $25,000investment when he initially started it, and the guy, and the Gary Vee was like, nah, don't, you know. And then he didn't invest, and that $25,000 would have made him $300 million. And he's like, and they're like, oh, that was that hurt. That's always like, no, he deserves that punch in the face because that inspires him to go and try and find the next Uber. And they don't take it as a grudge, they take it as a learning experience and just let it pass through. Because if it was me,
bruv,
I'll be saying Uber now.
Bruv.
Uber.
No. You'd be the kind of person, don't even mention Uber in my presence. I don't even want to hear the word Uber.
Do you want to take an Uber, Mike? No, fuck you.
Even if you hear ooh, don't even say the bird. Do you know what I mean? Don't even say the bird.
I can't even hear that. I can't even look at the app on my phone. Like, fuck that shit. Do you know what I mean?
And that feeling comes up every time you see it. Like, what? And you're doing it to yourself, bruv.
It's an emotional prison you're putting yourself in.
Yo.
Be yourself tied down. Literally tied down by these things that you will not allow past you. When you're comfortable with pain passing through you, you are free.
Yes. And what was it? Pain, I read today. So we're talking about the book and we're not even finished reading it.
Bruv. Like, I know, bruv. We'll come, don't worry, Casa Time listeners. We'll come back.
This is just the
Tista.
Yeah.
We're coming back with force on that book next week.
With the main course. This is just the appetizer. In it. Yeah. What was I saying? It was saying that, like, physical pain is just your body's way of communicating to you. But there's nothing wrong with pain. It's not something that you should try to run from. Do you see what I mean? It's just, okay, you're running, your foot starts like, okay, slow down. That's it. It's not saying don't ever run again. That's what we do, bruv. It's just saying, okay, you've now got to a point where maybe it's a bit too much pressure. So just slow down a bit. And then keep going.
Exactly.
Whereas when it's emotional pain, you feel it. Oh shit, I don't ever feel that again. So then you don't do anything that even slightly resembles.
I just think about it. When you're at a shit job and you're trying to find a better job. Like NI. Yeah. I didn't want to say it there, but thanks.
You know why I would.
Like, and you're trying to find a better job.
Yeah.
And you go for an interview and you get rejected for that interview. It puts you off going to interviews. But you're still in that shit situation and you want to get out of that situation. So why wouldn't you just go for as many interviews as you can?
Exactly.
Rather than say, Ajay, that hurt too much.
Yeah, I'd rather stay here in this shithole.
Like, it doesn't make any
that
sense.
That you're complaining about every day.
Like, that you hate. Like, it's so true. But you're like, kind of like, oh, I must fight. You know? I don't want to ever finish this pain of rejection, so I'll never do it again.
How stupid is that?
It's stupid. We're like, our voices in our head are counterintuitive, counterproductive. They're enemy of progress.
They are enemies of progress. Definitely. And you have to beat it up until it surrenders and then becomes your you know, number
friend
one
of
cheerleader.
Progress. Yeah.
Your friend of progress.
No, but your only friend of progress is your awareness. That's the only thing. Because it just does. It just does. It doesn't overthink things. It doesn't question you. It just does. It just does. I failed on this, I keep on going. I passed on this, I keep on going. I just do.
Like that like, she doesn't understand how much she helped me by me, like, because I've added all this other stuff. But what she goes, just do it. Like Nike said, just that is we make stuff so complicated when it is fucking simple.
Our baggage in life really does that to us. It messes us up.
You want to do something, then do it.
The baggage is temporary. That's the thing. The things that hold us back are temporary. All these things are, we question ourselves on our, like, temporary things we're trying to put in and make it permanent in our heads. Does that make any sense? Because the only permanent thing is your awareness. That's the only thing that's there. That is your true self.
That will
true
be
soul.
With you from the day you die, from the day you're born to the day you die. That thing, but everything else can come and go. Yeah. That's, everything else will change apart from who you are.
And your awareness. Your awareness.
Who you came in on this. Like, even your physical appearance is temporary.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
How it's, you dress, you change. Yeah, it changes. My style changes.
Your body changes. Your face changes. Everything about you. So that isn't you.
Mm.
You know, you have no control. You kind of do, but not really. Do you see what I mean?
I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's deep, man. It's
so
deep,
don't stress about that stuff. You have no control over it. I have no control over how my titties look. You know? I always reminisce about how they were when I was 16. Mm. But in a way, I don't know. I think growing up and not being one of those sort of buff girls in school, and plus, I went to a girls' school as well, so I didn't have those sort of, you know, like a lot of women have body image hang-ups.
Yeah.
Like, serious ones.
I didn't really know this until I've been with my fiancé for 5 years to realise
how bad
it is.
I remember one woman, she said to me she doesn't wear skirts because she has ugly ankles.
Oh, my God.
And the idea had never even crossed my mind
that you could have ugly
ankles. Like, I haven't even looked at my ankles, bruv. Mm. Do you see what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's true.
They're just ankles. Like, but these are thoughts that women have. Do you see what I mean? Like, and it makes them feel shit about themselves, you know? And that's horrible. That's really, really, like, we need to, I don't know. And these are, if you cannot control it, bruv, your ankle's bone and skin. You can't change that shit. So if you can't change it, then just accept it and keep it moving and just be happy you fucking have ankles. What if you didn't have any ankles? Then what would you do? You know? This is so stupid.
So true. It's so true. No, it's true. It's
no, true. I'm just saying, I'm talking about ankles. Like, it just sounds stupid in my head.
You know, wherever hang up it is a state of mind, isn't it?
Mm. It's not who you, like, even your awareness came to this earth, yeah? Everything on the outside, you had no choice in. It's literally like, I don't know, you go to a car dealership, or no, like a car rental place, and you say you want a car. You have no control, really, of the car they give you. You just have to take it and drive it. And then work it out as you go along, kind of thing. You see, you can't say, I want to be 6 foot, you know, 12-inch dick, six pack.
Hmm.
You just get what's given to you.
You make the best of it.
But we somehow don't realise that. And then we feel kind of fucked up about, oh, well, I don't look like this and I don't look that. You know, but who cares? Hmm.
But the problem is, life... People, I was saying this to Nella before, like, people just allowing life to happen to them.
Mm.
And that's not necessarily... We do have control over certain things. We don't have complete... Like, fair enough, you've been dealt... For what your perception, you feel like you've been dealt a raw hand. Like, you're 5'1" and whatever. Or, you know, you're 6'10" and you're not happy with your height. You're too short, too tall, whatever you feel. Or whatever, you want to be taller, you want to be shorter, whatever. Whatever raw deal you feel you've been dealt with... It's all about not just accepting the limitations of your own limitations. So, for instance, the woman complained about her ankles, and she's not going to wear skirts because of that. Your whole life, you go to Cancun or you go to fucking Miami or you go to LA, and then you're going to wear jeans on the beach.
Yeah,
you're going to sweat like a mofo because you have.
Yeah. Did you read that bit in the book where it's talking about the thorn in your side, and rather than just take it out, you build shit around it just so it doesn't...
Yeah, so you can kind of protect it.
Rather than just pulling that shit out and feeling that pain for a slight second.
And then letting it go.
Yeah.
But you're going to avoid all these hot spots or whatever. Wear jeans in Dubai. You're going to wear jeans in Dubai. Good luck. 40 degrees. Good luck. And just because you don't want to deal with the thing. You can't just let life happen to you. Oh, it's happened to me. This is... I can't do anything about it. You can do something about it. You can be... Either come to acceptance of the ankles you have, or I don't know, do ankle lifts. I don't know what new age exercise you want to do, but you have to kind of, there has to be, you have control over things. Life just doesn't necessarily just happen to you all the time.
Mm.
Things happen in life, but you can get ahead of those things, or you can prepare yourself for those things.
Mm.
You prepare your mind to accept what you are and let it go. That's the thing. People, you know, that's...
where we need to get to sometimes as people.
Mm.
It's hard, but yeah.
All you can really do is try to get to that yourself, and then you be the sort of poster child for that.
Mm.
And then people will come to you and say, oh, well, how did you do that? And don't you think it's so funny how people come to ask your advice on things you don't even consider as anything special?
Mm.
But then to someone else, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
It can be so good.
I love, like, I bet when you tell your friend, oh, I love the way you communicate, he's never even really thought about it.
I've told him this several times, and he's like, what?
Mm.
He doesn't understand me saying that, and he doesn't understand how much of a thing it is that his communication skills are exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I could learn a thing or two by being able to communicate to people like the way you do.
Mm.
And he's like, oh, I just do it, you know, I just do it, just do that. And just kind of like doesn't take it seriously. But I'm like, bro, you need to be making money off this shit.
No, but it's good because
it's
like,
it's a skill you're good at.
Yeah.
And I feel like you don't appreciate it as as well. And I, you know, and it's and not even just me, his girl has told him as well. So time when people are telling you that your communication skills are exceptional, you need to do something to you that you're using those communication skills. Because I feel like he can go to any room, any demographic, and regardless, change the energy there and be, you know, best by being himself and then getting people to, like, make people like him. A very likable person. And that's why I feel like, you know, and it's not likable because he's doing anything necessarily or trying to be anything. It's because when he talks to people per se, not necessarily what he wears or what he, it's the way when he talks to people, he's very, very personable. Extremely personable. He would tell people about himself, things about himself, like, rah, I could never do that to myself. I'm like, and just being that open person, that vulnerability he gives to other people, people are willing to be vulnerable to you, or people just feel more closer to you when you tell, when you are vulnerable with them, when you are more open, when you open your heart to people, people will respond back. Well, unless they obviously they're guarding themselves, they're like, ugh, they may resist to it, but majority of people I find when I see him communicate with people open their hearts as well. So yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
But it's good because when you, like, I don't know what I was watching, it was The Real, and they were, it was like, I don't know if you heard Tamar Braxton got fired.
Oh, I heard. I was talking to my fiancé about this today, actually.
That R was so fake. Anyway.
I don't watch The Real, so I don't really know. I hear. People are upset because I know she's a big character on the show.
I don't. Maybe there's something within her that.
Apparently, said she was difficult to work with.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I don't know. She obviously, I don't know her personally, but if she was, then it's surprising that they found her that dispensable. Because I feel like if you're, everyone's really upset about this, and if she was like the star of the show,
she wasn't the star of the show.
Okay, so that's probably why they could do that. Because
there's five of them, so everybody's sort of on an even, you know, they all get 20% kind of thing. Nobody has more than anybody else.
Okay.
So, I like the way that they cry a lot.
The dynamics of the show.
They cry a lot. Like, they open up. Like, really? They talk about bullying, how they felt as a child. Like, what are their flaws? You know, things that, like, oh, you know, to, yeah, they're very open. And I think that's, it's a good thing to see. And because they're, one of them's mixed race, one of them's African-American, one of them's African-American and she's plus size. I hate that that term. She's fat, you know. She is what it is. One's Asian, I don't know exactly what she is, and the other one's like Hispanic. So there's a very broad
demographic.
The only thing that's not there's white. That's funny for once.
Irony.
You know? And so everybody has their own different perspective of life, and everybody has their own shit that they had to grow up with. Like, one of them, she didn't like the fact that she was very, she looked like a child up until the age of like 21. So she wanted to be sexy, like womanly. She just had like a child's body. Another one, you know, she didn't like the way her eyes looked because she was Asian. The other one, she was too big. And it's just like, yo, we're all going through shit. Like, someone wants to be smaller. Someone wants to be bigger. My eyes are too big. Someone, my eyes are too small. Do you see what, like, what is this? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Like, we're all going through the same shit, but with different hang-ups, you know? How do you go about stopping it? Is it down to your parents, or are these the sort of things you just have to go through life, and then you have to get to a point where you just accept it, you know? Like, maybe if you were just born content with yourself, you would have a really boring life. Do you know what I mean? If you were just always happy, your life would be kind of boring. You need these ups and downs, I guess, to that's kind of balance life, it that's out. Life, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, people probably would get bored and just kill themselves. Oh, fuck this shit. Why am I happy all the time? Because it's true, because if
no, you're... but if you're happy all the time, maybe you have time to focus on other things rather than, okay, maybe, okay, not happy, entirely happy, but maybe, okay, I'm happy with my body, so maybe I can think about other things, like, okay, I want to be happy financially, or, I don't know, I want to be happy spiritually, or just look at other things entirely, like, I don't know, strive for other things.
Because I remember my pastor asked the congregation, what do you want in life? And I said, to be happy. And he goes, yeah, that's not possible. And I didn't understand. But I understand, he said, you can be content. Because content is even. Mm. Happy is up. And you can't always be up. And think about it. For you to be up, you have to know what down is. For you to know that you're up. So if you're always happy, you wouldn't actually be happy, because there's nothing to compare it to. Do you see what I mean? So content is, you've been happy, you've been sad, and now you found it, the middle. You know, which is where you kind of want to be. Because I don't want to be up, because at some point, if you're up, you will have to come down. And who wants the down?
Who wants the down?
I don't want the down. But you will have to experience it. Like, sometimes, like, you have no control over life. Shit will happen. Someone will piss you off. You feel it and you let it go. You just don't keep it. You know, like, you're just a vessel, and let it just pass through you.
So that's a truly balanced person.
Yeah.
That, you know,
so for me,
content.
So for me, saying to him, I want to be happy, shows him that I didn't understand. And I'm trying to achieve something that isn't feasible. You know, you can't be happy all the time. You can't. You can be content. You can be at peace. You know, but then maybe trying to say, I want to be happy, you're trying to achieve something that you can't maintain. You can be happy for a period of time, you know, but you can't stay happy. Like, when you bust a nut, imagine if you felt that constantly. You wouldn't like it. Like, have you heard about these women? I don't think men can have it, but they have multiple orgasms. They hate like it.
Yeah, yeah.
In the beginning, initially, it's funny, but then after a while, I was like, fuck this shit. Like, I have a job interview and I'm busting a nut in front of the... Do you see what I mean? I'm dealing with my children and I'm coming. Like, that's
horrible. It's horrible. Yeah, it looks horrible.
But the idea of it, oh my God, coming all the time, that sounds fucking brilliant. Do you know what I mean? But no. You know?
Yeah,
so I don't know why I said that, but...
I hear what you mean. I didn't really think about that. Like, obviously, with life's peaks and valleys, like, the whole point of the peaks is to have the valleys anyway, because you wouldn't know what the peaks were if you didn't have the valleys.
Exactly.
Makes no sense.
No, because to you, then it would just be flat land.
Yeah, because if that's the case, then all rich people will always be happy, because obviously, rich people have problems as well.
Of course, like, they do.
You know, poor people have problems as well, but they don't know the values of financial poverty, do they? But they know what it is to be sad and to be happy, maybe, at certain times.
Who? Poor people?
Rich people, I'm talking about.
Rich people.
Mm. But yeah, yeah. Wow. We've already had an hour and 3 minutes. Have you got anything else to add? Or have you got quotes?
Yeah, I'm going to look for my quote of the day.
I've given you a quote already, so this is a second quote of the day.
Okay.
Second quote of the day. Second gem of knowledge.
Let's see what I did look up a whole load of them.
Mm.
See if I can find a good one that fits.
In the meantime...
Give up all our information, bro, while I'm doing this.
In the meantime, if you have any questions or emails and stuff like that, I would love to hear from you. We would love to hear from you. Email us at castletimepodcast@gmail.com. Twitter at castletime. Is it at castletimepodcast? It's at castletime. The Twitter.
At castletime.
And Facebook, we've got a Facebook page, haven't we? Castle Time Facebook. Just search Castle Time on Facebook.
Google us, man, we're there, bruv.
We're everywhere.
Look at this one.
Go on, Anna, the quote.
The reward for conformity is that everyone likes you but yourself.
And on that bombshell,
let me say, you gotta say who it's by. Give credit. It's by Rita Mae Brown.
Rita Mae Brown. Yeah. Thank you for that human knowledge.
No longer trying to conform. Okay. You know, just people be love yourself. You for who you are, yeah. Exactly. Because that's the most important thing, that you love yourself.
Cool.
Yes. And with that,
but I want to say,
I know. Why can't I be the one to finish?
You're gonna
it
finish
off?
It off. Yeah, you are gonna finish it off this week. But I
when you
to
say
add,
so.
You know when? No, I just want to add something. Like, you know, when you say be yourself, I want to address this, because certain people feel that being themselves is to be, you know, abrasive and noxious and quite, you know, rude.
Mm.
I don't necessarily like being yourself. We don't actually listen to the words of be yourself. Be yourself doesn't mean that I just say any bullshit. Like, oh my God, I see this woman's hair. Yeah, it's fucked up. Or, you know what I mean? I'm just being myself. I feel like being yourself is more being honest about you. Like, maybe the reason why you feel this woman's hair is fucked up is because you have problems, issues with your own hair.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of you to, maybe you can address your own issues before you address someone else's. Mm-hmm. Like, people need to, you do need to be considerate of other people, mm-hmm. even though, like, being yourself does not mean just say any verbal diarrhea bullshit that comes mm-hmm. out of your mouth. I feel like people are quite confused about that.
Mm-hmm.
And be yourself doesn't mean be abrasive or be rude. Be yourself means be open.
Mm-hmm.
People need to, so maybe you shouldn't say be yourself, you should say be open.
No, you be yourself. Cause
be open to the world.
No, I still stand with be yourself. But I think that maybe people who are like that don't know themselves.
Amen.
You see what I mean? So, you know, you can be abrasive. Like, yeah. I know I've said a lot of stuff that when I think about it, and I think maybe, for all I could talk about is from my answers, you don't know at the time the impact of what you're saying exactly. is having.
Exactly.
To you, it's okay. Do you see what I mean?
Just being yourself.
Because you're just being what you think is yourself. Do you see what I mean? But then maybe until someone does it back to you, maybe it comes down to the having a lack of empathy as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You see what I mean? So maybe until someone does it back to you, oh shit, that doesn't feel nice. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like that. And then, okay, well, if I don't like it, let me not do it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then that's another aspect of yourself that you're learning about.
Mm.
Like, it takes forever for you to figure out who you are as a person.
It's true.
Do you see what I mean? So, you know, maybe if, like, for instance, if I say something to you that you think is horrible, say it back, or say something back, and then, you know, but then I don't know, because I feel like certain things I can, someone can say something to me and it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So is it like, maybe if you think someone's being abrasive, what if
you're
that,
being defensive?
Yeah, you're being defensive. Like for instance, my friend said to me, I don't like it when people call me names. But you can't control people calling you names.
Yeah.
So isn't it more, she said to me, don't, because I think I called her an old lady. It was a joke. Yeah, because she'd forgotten. She keeps forgetting stuff. And that's what old women do.
Yeah, she didn't
and
like
she
that.
Said to me, don't call me an old lady. And I said to myself, okay, I'm not going to. But I thought, but hold up. You can't go around telling everybody what they can and cannot say. Isn't it just easy for you to figure out why you don't like being called names, which is probably something that is a trigger from maybe someone being abusive to you as a child. Work through that shit. So then when now another person calls you name, it doesn't affect you. Because you can't control
what people say.
What people say. Mm. Do you see what I mean? So if like I would say, if you get offended,
it's Casa Time Extra.
Bruv, yeah. If you get offended by something, it's because you suddenly think it's true.
Mm.
So if you think it's true, why are you offended? And if it's something that you don't like about yourself, change it or accept it.
Mm.
You know? But other people shouldn't have that much
power
over you.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? And if the person really is that horrible, then don't talk to them.
Mm.
You know? But I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah.
You want to sign out?
Thank you for giving me permission. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's Cussa Time out.
Bye.